Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, read the worders. Welcome to day number 178. In the read the worders trip through the Bible chronologically. Wow, wow, wow. 178 days in a row we've done this, guys, you and me. Us, we-ins, you-ins, and
all of us-ins.
All us-ins. It's been a good trip. What do I do now? Is it in the plus? And it's plus like 120 or something. See the little bar that says close? Anyways, it's all right. Now, here's the thing. You and I have seen some serious, serious, majestic Word of God. Just bring it over here and set it right here. Don't need the cord. We've seen some serious, majestic Word of God happen throughout this year. And the wonderful thing that God is doing in our midst is that he is teaching us his love, his mercy, his grace, his care from day one, creation, Genesis 1:1, all the way to Revelation 22:21. And you and I are going to continually see his mighty hand. Now, Old Testament, that period of time was a mess. They didn't learn well. And because they didn't learn well, they got their butt kicked continually. People were continually being destroyed. All of these kings, their whole family was wiped out after God made him a king. It's a sad day. It's a sad day. But this is what we know about our Father. He's the most just being there is on the face of this earth. Amen. And that's why we can call it the majestic Word of God, because God never fails. He's not going to fail. And so, here we go. We got 1 Kings chapter 20 and 21. It's going to describe the absolute wickedness of Jezebel and Ahab. And there is wicked in that day as the Clintons are in this day. Wicked. Ahab and Jezebel. It's wicked. Let's pray our opening prayer that we pray every time we come. You might be like, Bess, you better pray and say something. I say nothing. Nobody doesn't already know. They're wicked. You'll see why I say that in a minute. Father, I open my spirit, soul, and body to be used by you, to be led by you today. That Christ may dwell through my heart, through faith. So I will be rooted and grounded in love. Yeah. That I might comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, that I will know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen and amen and amen. 1 Kings chapter 20. Now, Ben-Hadad, that's a pretty cool name, Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his forces together. 32 kings were with him. 32 kings. I never saw that number before. I know I've heard it because Dr. Barclay preaches this all the time. I've read it over and over, but hey, 32 kings. Horses and chariots, he went up and besieged Samaria and made war against it. He sent messengers into the city to Ahab, king of Israel, and said to him, thus says Ben-Hadad, your silver and your gold are mine, your loveliest wives and children are mine. And the king of Israel answered and said, my lord, O king, just as you say, I and all that I have are yours. Then the messengers came back and said, thus speaks Ben-Hadad, saying, indeed, I've sent to you, saying, you shall deliver to me your silver, your gold, your wives, and your children. But I will send my servants to you tomorrow about this time, and they shall search your house, the houses of your servants, and it shall be that whatever is pleasant in your eyes, they will put it in their hands and take it. Very interesting story we got going here.
Mm-hmm.
So the king of Israel and all the elders of the land and said, notice, please, and see how this man seeks trouble, for he sent to me for my wives, my children, my silver, my gold, and I did not deny him. All the elders and the people said to him, do not listen or consent to him, you knucklehead. Therefore he sent messengers to Ben-Hadad. Tell my lord the king, all that you sent for to your servant the first time I will do, but this thing I cannot do. The messengers departed and brought back word to him. Ben-Hadad sent him and said, the gods do so to me and more also if enough dust is left of Samaria for a handful for each of the people who follow me. One wicked moron yelling at another.
Yeah.
You ever felt like you saw that on CNN? And it all happened when Ben-Hadad heard this message, as he and the kings were drinking at the command post, he said to his servants, get ready. And they got ready to attack the city. Suddenly a prophet approached Ahab, king of Israel, saying, thus saith the Lord, have you seen all the great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into your hand today, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Ahab said, by whom? He says, thus says the Lord, by the young leaders of the provinces. He said, who will set the battle in order? And he answered, you. He mustered the young leaders of the provinces, and there were 232. After them, he mustered all the people, all the children of Israel, 7,000. They went out at noon. Meanwhile, Ben-Hadad and the 32 kings helping him were getting drunk at the command post.
Wow.
That's just not a good thing to do after you threatened a man. Because you and all them kings about... Anyways, the young leaders of the provinces went out first, and Ben-Hadad sent out a patrol. They told him, saying, men are coming. He said, if they have come out for peace, take them alive. And if they have come out for war, take them alive. Then these young leaders of the provinces went out of the city with the army, which followed them. Each one killed his man. So the Syrians fled, and Israel pursued them. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, escaped on a horse with the cavalry. King of Israel went out and attacked the horses and chariots and killed the Syrians with a great slaughter. Prophet came to the king of Israel and said, go strengthen yourself, take note, and see what you should do, for in the spring of the year, the king of Syria will come against you.
Wow.
He warned him. Ahab's the worst king we've had in Israel so far in our reading. Servants of the king of Syria said to him, their gods are gods of the hills. Therefore, they were stronger than we. But if we fight against them in the plain, surely we'll be stronger than they. So do this thing. Dismiss the kings, each from his position. Put captains in their places. And you shall muster an army like the army that you have lost, horse for horse and chariot for chariot. Then we will fight against them in the plain. Surely we will be stronger than they. And he listened to their voice and did so. Oops. Dum, dum, da, dum, dum. All right. 26. So it was in the spring of the year that Ben-Hadad mustered to the Syrians and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. They had a lot of mustard fields back then. That was a good joke. The children of Israel were mustered and given provisions, and they went against them. Now the children of Israel encamped before them like two little flocks of goats. While the Syrians filled the countryside. Then a man of God came and spoke to the king of Israel and said, thus says the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is God of the hills, but he's not the God of the valleys. Therefore, I will deliver all this great multitude into your hand. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God. God's trying to reach him. They encamped opposite each other for 7 days. So it was that on the seventh day, the battle was joined. The children of Israel killed 100,000 foot soldiers of the Syrians in 1 day. Do you know how many people you're killing to kill 100,000 people in 1 day? That is a ferocious battle. 100,000 people, foot soldiers, in 1 day. Verse 30. But the rest fled to Aphek into the city, and then a wall fell on 27,000 of the men who were left. Ben-Hadad fled, went into the city and into an inner chamber. His servant said to him, look, now we have heard that the kings of the house of Israel are merciful kings. Please, let us put sackcloth around our waists and ropes around our heads and go out to the king of Israel. Perhaps he will spare your life. So they wore sackcloth around their waist and ropes around their head and came to the king of Israel and said, your servant Ben-Hadad says, please let me live. And he said, is he still alive? He is my brother. Now then the men were watching closely to see whether any sign of mercy would come from him. And they quickly grasped at his word and said, your brother Ben-Hadad. So he said, go bring him. Then Ben-Hadad came out to him, and he had him come up into the chariot. Ben-Hadad said to him, the cities which my father took from your father, I will restore. And you may set up your marketplaces for yourself in Damascus, as my father did in Samaria. Then Ahab said, I will send you away with this treaty. So he made him a treaty, and he sent him away. Hmm. 35. Now a certain man of the sons of the prophet said to the neighbor, his neighbor, by the word of the Lord, strike me, please. And the man refused to strike him. He said to him, because you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, surely as soon as you depart from me, a lion shall kill you. And as soon as he left him, a lion found him and killed him. Now, wait a minute.
Wow.
And he found another man and said, strike me, please. So the man struck him, inflicting a wound. Then the prophet departed and waited for the king by the road and disguised himself with a bandage over his eye like a pirate. As the king passed by, oh my goodness, he cried out to the king and said, your servant went out into the midst of the battle, and there a man came over and brought a man to me and he said, guard this man. If you by any means he's missing, your life shall be for his life, or else you shall pay a talent of silver. While your servant was busy here and there, he was gone. Then the king of Israel said to him, so shall your judgment be. You yourself have decided it. And he hastened to take the bandage away from his eye, and the king of Israel recognized him as one of the prophets. He said to him, thus says the Lord, because you have let slip out of your hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore your life shall go for his life and your people for his people. So the king of Israel went to his house, solemn and displeased, and came to Samaria.
They just don't mess around, do they?
Well, God's really serious about it. Here we go. Chapter 21. Naboth is murdered for his vineyard. Goodness sakes alive. Came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, next to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. Ahab spoke to Naboth, saying, give me your vineyard that I may have it for a vegetable garden, because it is near, next to my house, and for it I will give you a vineyard better than it. Or if it seems good to you, I'll give you its worth in money. But Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid that I should give the inheritance of my fathers to you. That's the book of Proverbs. Do not be found in the field of the fatherless, or remove the ancient landmark. Ahab went into his house sullen, displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he said, I'll not give you the inheritance of my fathers. And he lay down his bed and sucked his thumb, turned away his face, and then sucked his big toe, and he would eat no food. Cry, baby. Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said, aw, sweet little honey, what's your problem? He said to her, because I spoke to Naboth, the Jezreelite. He said, give me your vineyard for money, or else, if it pleases you, I will give you another vineyard for it. And he answered, I'll not give you my vineyard. Jezebel, his wife, said to him, you now exercise authority over Israel. Arise, eat food, let your heart be cheerful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite. Okay? Wicked people. She wrote letters in Ahab's name, sealed them with a seal, and sent letters to the elders and the nobles who were dwelling in the city of Naboth. She wrote in the letters saying, proclaim a fast and seat Naboth with high honor among the people. Seat two men, scoundrels, before him to bear witness against him, saying, you have blasphemed God and the king. Then take him out and stone him that he may die. This is extremely corrupt. But it's like I said, it's just like those people. Verse 11, so the men of the city, the elders and nobles who were inhabitants of the city, did as Jezebel had said to them, as it was written in the letters which she had sent to them. They proclaimed a fast and seated Naboth with his high honor among the people. Two men, scoundrels, came in, sat before him, and the scoundrels witnessed against him, against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth has blasphemed God and the king. They took him outside the city, stoned him with stones, and he died. And they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth had been stoned in his stead. And it came to pass when Jezebel heard this, Naboth had been stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead. So it was when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, Ahab got up, went down, took possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite. It's corruption to the greatest degree. 17, the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down, meet Ahab, king of Israel, lives in Samaria. There he is in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone down to take possession of it. You shall speak to him, saying, thus says the Lord, have you murdered and also taken possession? And you shall speak to him, saying, thus says the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, dogs shall lick your blood, even yours. Ahab said to Elijah, have you found me, O my enemy? He answered, I found you, because you have sold yourself to do evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I'll bring calamity on you. Take away your posterity. I will cut off Ahab from every male in Israel, both bond and free. I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, because of the provocation which you have provoked me to anger and made Israel sin. Concerning Jezebel, the Lord also spoke, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. The dog shall eat whoever belongs to Ahab and dies in the city. And the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the field. But there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up. That's the spirit of Jezebel. It's a manipulating, controlling spirit. 26, and he behaved very abominably in following idols, very abominably. according to all that the Amorites had done, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. So it was when Ahab heard these words that he tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his body, fasted, lay in sackcloth, and went about mourning. The word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Now, see how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the calamity in his days. In the days of his sons, I will bring the calamity on his house." And Ahab is still wicked. My. Remember, the Old Testament is a symbol of man's useless struggle to make himself righteous. And he needs a Savior. And that Savior's name is Jesus. It really is. Thank you, Jesus, for being our Savior. And the interesting thing about the prophet has to speak the word of the Lord no matter what. And as he's speaking the word of the Lord, you and I can see God's hand of judgment. And yet he began to repent. God said, "Then I'm going to take out your posterity." And if you go to Exodus chapter 20, God said that he visits the iniquity of the father to the third and fourth generation. If your father's committed iniquity, begin to rebuke it so it won't be in your life. If you're the father and you committed iniquity, you rebuke it and speak over your children. Plague stops. So that the plague stops. It's the majestic word of God. You and I live in the new generation. We live in the new covenant. It's a better covenant based on better promises sworn in the blood of Jesus. It's an inheritance that fades not away and is incorruptible. And doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or Gentile, don't matter where you come from around the world. God Almighty is there as your father to help you. Well, let's pray the prayer of salvation like we do every time we come here. So that no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, you have the opportunity to know our Lord. If you pray this prayer from the depths of your heart and you mean it, saying, "God, help me," and we're finished, you will be right with God. Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in
you. You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting
life. And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
I receive you into my life right now.
I receive you into my life.
All of your love and your mercy.
All of your love and your mercy.
All of your grace and your righteousness.
All of your grace and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With your wonderful restoring power.
With your wonderful restoring power.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Live your life in and through me.
Live your life in me and through me.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word.
Pray
of God.
In my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly
and live
language.
A successful life.
And live a successful
as
life.
A believer every day.
As a believer. Every
I pray
day.
This in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Now, you you may have just prayed that prayer for the first time. Looking at my clock here. And you might be saying, "Pastor, something's going on inside." Yeah, it does. What is it? Jesus just came and filled you. He's the light of the world. He's the author and finisher of your faith. He is righteousness, holiness, peace, joy, happiness, salvation. He's all of those things to you and me. So all of that just filled your being. And because of his blood, all the sins are washed away. It literally sounds just like that in the realm of the spirit. You know how it is when you hit the delete button on your files down in the trash and it goes, that's what it sounds like. It's just gone. He throws it in the sea of his forgetfulness and never remember anymore. And you and I would be great to be just like our Father. Forget what people have done. If he doesn't hold it against them, why would we? I know. But that's how this works. Now, you've been adopted into the family of God. You are now heir of God and joint heir with Jesus. Your whole life has just changed. And I've got a whole stack of videos I want to send you of how to get established in your Christian life. And my email address and the website are right down there in the notes of the program. If you send me an email, I will help you walk with God every day in Jesus' mighty name. Well, that's all we got for now. Remember, there's the link down there for the whole playlist that you can send to people and say, you got to hear this. Because you're not inviting them to a church. It's literally one of the easiest ways to draw somebody into the kingdom. It really is. And to help them realize, wait, I didn't get religion. I didn't get churchianity. I didn't get a preacher. I didn't get nothing. I found God. And he's powerful. And that power is living inside of you and me. In Jesus' mighty name. We'll come back tomorrow. We'll have some more Ahab and Jezebel. And, you know, it's not going to be long. It's probably tomorrow. Ahab's going to die. Yeah. How bad? To live wickedly and expect God to give you entrance into heaven when so many have lived righteously. Ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. But this is what we say. Remember this. We love you.
And God loves you.
And Jesus
is Lord.
See you soon. And God richly bless you.